When I left the agency, I thought it was best to make a clean break. I was just trying to do good work.
Well, you're not.
This is CIA.
He's attacking us.
Shut it down! Shut it down!
They got our surveillance program with the Germans.
I'd like you to meet my head of security, Carrie Mathis.
Hello, sir.
We are going to Lebanon.
I don't want to be in that world. I want to be here with you.
I want to be sure you understand.
The name's in the box. I'll take care of anyone you put there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this very special little Homeland miniseries. I am Pierce Redman, and joining me to discuss this Homeland miniseries and my co-host in this this little adventure is, of course, Tom Secker of Clandestime and DisinfoWars, SpyCulture.com, and, you know, I think everyone is probably familiar with all of Tom's work. But, Tom, how are you? And thank you for joining me for the first episode of this little Homeland miniseries.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm great. It's good to be talking to you again on air. We haven't recorded anything for a little while, but... Yeah, I mean, you suggested at the end of the last one, when we did the sort of single episode review of Homeland Season 4, which was a, you know, lovely episode. I think we got great stuff in that one. You suggested let's maybe for the next season, let's do a kind of try and do at least a episode by episode review. Let's try and offer our thoughts each week as to what this show is about, where it's going, maybe try and make a few predictions, although some of our predictions last time got a bit wild. So yeah, it's going to be interesting doing it this way, because this is not how we would normally approach reviewing something like this, where we're sort of trying to second guess stuff. So yeah, it's going to be a bit different and a bit, yeah, certainly a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, Tom and I would, we would have these massively long email chains back and forth about Homeland, like every time the episode would come out, we'd each, you know, be writing pages and pages of ideas and whatnot. And that was so much fun. And we would, of course, just constantly talk about it. But I think we lost a lot of there's a lot of little details that you lose. But I think with this episode to episode way, we're going to get into all of those a little bit more. So I guess without further ado, let's get into what happened in episode one of season five of Homeland. We get a, I guess for anyone that doesn't know, the last season ends with, Carrie essentially leaving the CIA, Saul getting promoted, yet again by Dara Dahl, this nefarious, nebulous deep state actor, and, Quinn, going, off to Syria to take out targets. And season five, opens about 2.5 years into the future, from where season four left off. And Carrie is, you know, has been out of the agency now for at least 2 years. We see her in a church. She's found God, so that's always always good. And and she's now working for Otto Dering, who is some sort of wealthy German, like, industrialist billionaire who runs the Dering Foundation, which I don't know. It's supposed to be sort of this, like, I don't even know how I would describe it, Tom. It's sort of like a, you know, a do-gooder, you know, muckraking sort of a – they seem to be this foundation that doesn't really know exactly what it is they do. You know, they're building,
someone even refers to it in the episode as like, or they don't say this explicitly, but what they're getting at is this whole foundation is like this industrialist's way of saying sorry for being a, you know, the grandson of some Nazi industrialist.
Yeah, right.
You know, this is how he became a billionaire. And so he's trying to do some good in the world through whatever humanitarian relief, journalism. It seems there's a whole bunch of different stuff that this foundation is, you know, got its fingers in. Yeah.
Right. And Carrie seems to be like running security or sort of, you know, as a consultant, obviously, you know, ex-CIA, that's someone that these foundations would want to scoop up. And I believe it's Saul that says that, you know, Dering's family worked prisoners to death during World War II. So maybe he feels some cosmic need to, I don't know, you know, go out. Yeah. And they're known for going after the CIA. And there's even a reference that the Dering Foundation is looking into what I believe Saul refers to as, quote, transit sites in Poland, which is a nice euphemism for black sites.
We assume.
So that's what Carrie is up to. And we see, you know, that Saul is now he's head of European operations for the CIA. Saul seems to have completely gone, you know, right back
over
in.
To the dark side.
Yeah, very much so. And is you know now him and Dara Dahl are BFF. They seem very content with whatever they're doing. Quinn has descended back into madness yet again, and he returns after 2 years in Syria, where mm-hmm. he was, running around with special forces, blowing up targets. And Quinn is called in and to Langley to sort of debrief all these people, and he makes this huge announcement that you know, there really is no strategy. ISIS has a strategy, and that they're, you know, totally insane, that they love, you know, all they do is read the Quran and cut off people's heads. And Quinn says, we should just send in 200,000 U.S. troops on the ground, to secure Syria or something. Or to hit reset and, quote, pound Raqqa into a parking lot. So, very kind of a dark strategy by Quinn, who really seems to everyone in this seems to sort of, or Saul and Quinn seem to have lost any bit of humanity that they had in previous seasons, seems to have been completely destroyed by
certainly from this first episode. Yeah, that's the impression that I got, is like Saul is someone else. Yes. Quinn is just sort of so kind of riddled with PTSD and fuck knows what else. You know, he's just like a shell of a man.
Yeah.
Who doesn't seem to even really be in control of himself anymore. Yeah. Mm. They're kind of all the charm and like you say, all the humanity that they used to have as characters seems to have been drained out of them.
Mm. Yeah, and again, Quinn was one of the few CIA characters that actually questioned what they were doing. And he even confronted Carrie in, I think it might have been the fourth season, and said something to the effect of, like, you know, what is it, what's the point of even what we're doing? You know, it makes no sense. We're just killing people at random almost with no real clear plan. And Carrie is like, oh, come on, you know, don't
we're fighting the good fight. Yeah.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Patriotism and all this sort of bullshit. And obviously Quinn is, you know, I mean, it sort of works off the books for the agency. He's not, he's not like a, I don't know. He's not doing anything like officially. So he gets into some pretty nasty shit. But anyway, so that's sort of where all the main characters are right now. And then we start to get the, we're assuming will become some of the overarching narratives in this story. And the biggest one probably is this whole data breach of the CIA's station in Berlin. And again, true to form, we get this really, you know, super cool, exciting hacking scene where we get a bunch of, you know, greasy hackers typing really fast, and that's supposed to be exciting.
To be fair, Pierce, it is quite hard to make hacking exciting on cinema. But I mean, you're right. Every hacking scene pretty much looks exactly like this. Mm. But it is like, well, that's sort of just how you do it. Everyone's kind of accepted now. There's no other way of making hacking look like action. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're introduced to the sort of stereotypical hacker guy. So he looks and sounds like he's either Arab or Turkish or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
My sister actually pointed this out to us, and she had an uncanny ability with some of the real life situations and stuff that are in Homeland. And she said that he looks exactly like Aaron Swartz, which he does actually have a really uneasy resemblance to. And maybe we'll get into that later. But anyway, he works at some strip club, some very seedy looking, and in the back they have, you know, webcams with various women performing, and he seems to be sort of running internet security or overseeing the servers along with his friend, who I believe is the son of the guy who runs this strip club. So again, of course, melding the, you know, oh, hackers have to be, or anyone that's doing anything like that with computers is sort of into that nasty, seedier world where it's drugs or it's sex or pornography or something like that. Anyway, they, I mean, well, Tom, what did you think of this, where they come in with this video, you know, of these sort of like ISIS looking characters? And it's like a, you know, it's like from some jihadi video, but they put in these sort of fake subtitles where they're all talking about having sex with each other and, you know,
having a gay orgy.
Yeah, a gay orgy. And, you know.
And then they post this up on a, what we assume is an ISIS recruitment website. And this is all just supposed to be some sort of prank at this point, as best we can tell anyway. Maybe there's more to come on the background of these two, but at least how it's presented to us, it's just two guys, hackers, internet pranksters, kind of having a laugh. And then in the course of hacking into this, you know, the back end of this website in order to post this silly video portraying all of the jihadis as gay, though you have to wonder there, didn't the CIA once make a, like, fake Bin Laden sex tape to try and make him look gay?
Well, that whole thing just struck me as that's a classic tactic that goes back at least like with World War II, with the whole, you know, Hitler only had one testicle, that Hitler had weird sexual, you know, desires, that he was secretly gay. So, yeah, this is a I mean, it's an easy tactic, you know. A bunch of, you know, psychotic jihadis who only hang out with other psychotic male jihadis. It's, you know, you do wonder what they get up to. And it's
the same, the same thing gangs of men probably get up to when there aren't any women around.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so these two guys, they're posting this silly video, and in the course of hacking into this website, they kind of stumble across the fact that the CIA, or at least someone else, is also hacking this website. And they get into this thing where they don't want to tell whoever this other person is, you know, who they are and what they're up to. So he, it's not really explained how, hacks the firewall on the CIA's secure server in their Berlin station, just up the road from wherever they are supposed to be, in the back of this strip club. And they steal, whatever, 1,300 CIA documents. all of which I found massively technologically implausible, even with my limited knowledge of internet security. I'm pretty sure it's nothing like that easy to do. But okay, that's the storyline they've set up, and they say that is presumably going to be one of the, like you say, the overarching narratives of this season is this hack, the fallout from it, because these documents have now been, at least some of them have been, handed over to this journalist, and she wants to publish on it. So you have this whole very Snowden-esque, or at least, you know, similar sorts of stories, the same sorts of stories we've had from WikiLeaks, Snowden, Bradley Manning, all of that stuff. It has elements of all of that kind of thrown in. And it's not really clear which of those they're playing on. I guess they're just playing on all of them.
Yeah, I mean, they have at least one reference to Edward Snowden in this episode. And just to in case if anyone hasn't seen the episode, which I would suggest you go and watch before you listen to this, and we'll have a link to, you know, a place you can watch it for free. But the journalist who gets a bunch of these documents from these hackers works for the Turing Foundation. And and of course, she is like the most sort of like holier than thou American, you know, journalist out there. She's the Laura Poitras character, I would assume.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You know, again, working in Berlin, like Poitras. And, you know, she's just very, this is all, good, and you know, the CIA is evil. And not that they're not. But, you know, it's just this very cliched.
She is a bit of a stereotype of that whole, but what about the CIA's illegal activities kind of thing? And it's all... Right. It's all that classic self-righteous, yeah, but what about kind of argument.
Right, yeah.
You know, most people get over that after they've left university, but some people carry it through their whole life, I guess. She's certainly one of them, yeah.
Yeah, and she wants Carrie to verify it. Carrie won't verify it, blah, blah, blah. So that's more or less the general sort of... And again, this is the first episode, so, you know, they're trying to just sort of set everything up. But... I actually found there were a couple really interesting things that maybe we can pick apart within this that I'm assuming will also become more and more important, or are the sort of seeds to the what Homeland is really about, and that is sort of you know, this uncanny ability to sort of predict future events or to shape our perspective on future events. And there were a couple things in here that sort of stuck out to me. One is this, I don't understand it, but it's this obsession with Lebanon and Hezbollah. This has been like from season one on, and I assume that this has something to do with Alex Ganza, that the show is based on an Israeli TV show about soldiers who are kidnapped in Lebanon. But, you know, Lebanon is obviously an extremely important geopolitical country, but it's not like that important right now, you know? I mean,
well, and in relation to what we were discussing the other day, Homeland never mentions Russia.
Mm.
It's like Russia doesn't exist in the Homeland.
Yes.
I don't even remember them even mentioning the word Russia.
Mm.
They maybe have done, but it's like it's never been part of the storyline. And yet, Lebanon? I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but...
That's what I mean, yeah.
It's odd that a spy show would be so focused on a country like Lebanon and never have any interest, it seems, in Russia.
Mm.
So, I mean, of course, maybe that is part of this whole, you know, don't help and encourage people to add up the fact that all of this Middle Eastern policy is ultimately in some way about confronting and trying to contain Russia.
Right.
And maybe that's why they just leave them out of the script. It's because they just don't want people to put two and two together.
Mm.
You know, Russia's that thing over there, and that's dealt with in the Americans and the assets and all of those sorts of shows. But Homeland, no, that's about something else. Yeah. You know, they're compartmentalizing the themes, if you like.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
No, yeah. I think actually this was the first, this episode also was the first time they ever mentioned Russia. And it was just, I think as offhandedly where they're talking about the hack. And they're like, oh, maybe it was either the Russians, the Iranians, or the French that could have hacked them. So, okay.
That's their top three.
Yeah. But again, they're obsessed. You know, they're going to Lebanon. They're talking about the refugees there. And no doubt there are... I mean, I wouldn't, you know, for tens of thousands of refugees in Lebanon from Syria. But again,
no doubt.
You know, yeah. The real refugee crisis is in Turkey. It's in Iraq. It's, you know, Lebanon is just one small sort of, you know, piece in this whole puzzle. But it always seems to manage to make this big splash. And again, so does Hezbollah. They are obsessed with Hezbollah on this show. So much so that Carrie... decides that, if they're going to go, if she's going to bring Otto Dering to Lebanon, they need to have Hezbollah's, you know, thumbs up okay on this. So, of course, thank God she's in Berlin, where, of course, this Hezbollah commander is living underground. And this whole sort of subplot of jihadis is safe, you know, living in the sort of safe harbor in Europe. That becomes this sort of little theme in this episode, and I can only assume later on. Again, this is very topical right now in Europe, as I'm sure, Tom, you're probably even more well aware than we are. But what did you make of this idea of this Hezbollah commander, you know, hanging out in Germany? And of course, they sort of kidnap Carrie in the middle of the day, actually, in broad daylight. And you know, they bring her here and I mean, why would a Hezbollah commander be living in Germany?
Well, it's not outside the realms of possibility, but he wouldn't be the sort of Hezbollah commander that would be living in Germany, well known to the CIA, kind of, you know, liaising with people working as private security for a massive billionaire foundation. I mean, you know, just the simple notion in itself is not that outlandish, that there may be Hezbollah commanders or ex-Hezbollah commanders who fled the Middle East and are now hiding out somewhere in Europe. But the chances are they're not up to very much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Chances are they are just hiding out. They're not really in a position to do very much. So the notion that he's there, he's still some sort of international fixer who can get it sorted for this billionaire to go and visit Lebanon in safety. Yeah, it's utterly ridiculous. And you're right, there is this recurring theme in this episode where they're talking about... Well, I mean, Quinn talks about it. He talks about, you know, ISIS soldiers hiding out among civilian populations.
Yep.
And then we get this thing in Europe. Oh, there's Hezbollah commanders and other jihadis hiding out in Europe. And it is something that, certainly since there's this whole refugee crisis has been in the news, one of the kind of second stage stories about the refugee crisis has been, a certain number, certain percentage of these must be ISIS. And I'm thinking, well, in a sort of roundabout sort of way, it wouldn't surprise me if a few of them were. But on the other hand, it also wouldn't surprise me if we were sat here in 6 months' time and there has been no ISIS attack in Western Europe.
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone's implying, isn't it? Is that there's going to be another wave of terror in Western Europe. And
yes,
they've been predicting this for quite some time, and it never really seems to happen. I mean, to be perfectly frank, since 9/11, there hasn't been much terrorism in Western Europe. It's not like when Gladio was going full apeshit in the 70s or something, or, you know, like when Northern Ireland was on fire. It really isn't comparable to that period in time. So, you know what I'm getting at here?
That
this notion in itself is not absurd, but the way that they're playing on it is that, it's this big, you know, international network, and it's like it's some sort of transnational Islamic mafia that can get all sorts of things done. It's just blowing it all out, completely out of proportion. If there are, you know, jihadis knocking around, hiding out in Western Europe, it's going to be like two or three of them living in some damp flat, talking about Allah a lot and probably not accomplishing very much else. I mean, because that's what it usually is. Let's face it, with most of these people, when they get arrested, that's pretty much all they're doing. They usually don't have bombs or weapons or anything like that. So, yeah.
Right, yeah. Oh, I mean, we can even look at, you know, a lot of the 9/11 hijackers that were in Germany. They're in Hamburg.
Cool.
And again, you know, it's if the CIA, if the Gladio Network wants to get these people in, they don't need to create a refugee crisis. They'll just get them passports and they'll just let them go, like they did with 9/11 hijackers, like they did with any of these people, you know.
Well, and of course, not to get too sidetracked on this, but didn't Ali Mohammed, wasn't his first, at least official mission for the CIA, was to infiltrate a Hezbollah mosque in Germany?
Yes.
I don't think it was in Berlin. I think it was in Hamburg, but whatever. So maybe it's a little, I don't know, obscure hint at that. I'm really not sure, but they're playing on an idea and trying to, you know, coax it into this narrative of, oh, Europe's this, you know, hotbed of there's jihadis under every, you know, jihadis under the bed. It's silly, really.
Well, and that kind of brings us to another one of the I think what will become a major theme, and this is something that Tom and I were talking about a couple of days ago as sort of an interesting take. But so, you know, the documents that this hacker gets, that now this journalist is in possession of at least a couple of them, shows that to get around Germany's privacy laws to spy on their own citizens, they are using the CIA to spy on German citizens and then obviously sharing all this information. Now, this is really bizarre because, you know, we don't hear a lot about the CIA running operations like that. We've obviously heard quite a bit about the NSA running operations like this, but we don't often hear about the CIA. Now, this is actually a somewhat topical talking point because there is a huge scandal going on right now in Germany dealing somewhat with this whole spying thing, but even more so that the CIA was basically running at least one or two agents within the BND, which is the German equivalent of the CIA, that the CIA had agents that they were running in there. And there's always been a sort of a bit of a tension, I would assume, to some extent, between Germany and America in terms of all this sort of stuff. But
Well, yeah, there is this sort of problem with NATO, that Germany is an absolute, you know, dead center for NATO, but they, as any country does, they kind of want to maintain some at least sense of their own autonomy in that.
Yeah.
And of course, it's impossible once you get into that sort of organization to truly call yourself an autonomous nation ever again. But this kind of, I don't know, just this political tension has been around, certainly in Germany, for a long, long time. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a great line I wrote down between Saul after they have this meeting with the, you know, I guess Saul's counterpart. And they're basically like, you know, screw you guys, we're done. you know, we should have never trusted you, blah, blah, blah. Again, sort of like, yeah, right. That, you know, it doesn't really work like that. especially, you know, it's somewhat believable if it's, say, the ISI and the CIA, but the CIA and the BND, I just don't think that it really goes down quite like that. But anyway, and again, of course, the CIA basically created the BND. When we, you know, brought over all of these Nazis and protected them. But anyway, there's this great line where they leave and Saul and the Berlin station chief are walking outside of this restaurant. They're like, oh, you know, I can't fucking believe them, blah, blah, blah. And then she says, what's wrong with these new Germans? And I just, like, loved that line and this idea, again, that, you know, Germany is independent of the NATO-CIA agenda. That, you know, somehow this is going to unravel the entire security apparatus in Europe because of these new Germans that – and again, implying too that what's wrong with – you know, why can't we go back to the old Germans who were fine with spying on everybody and working with us and, you know, helping to you know, kill, I don't know, radical terrorists all over the world. so just a really an interesting little line, and I hope that we see more of the new Germans later on. But this is just a weird – I don't know, Tom, again, what's your take on this sort of – this Germany spying, like, storyline? Because then it takes an even more bizarre twist – when basically, I guess the Germans are like, okay, we're done, we're not working with you anymore, and Saul interprets this as we're not going to go after jihadis or something. So then Saul has Quinn go and kill some jihadi bomb maker outside of a cafe, like in his apartment, and in this sort of like. It is sort of a false flag, you know? And then basically Saul asks him, well, do you want to just go on a killing spree all over Germany, taking out any targets that we want? So what was your take on this? Sort of like, what, you know, I guess we're going to speculate a little bit here, but is this like Saul's way of like getting the Germans back on board?
Well, I guess that's where the storyline is ultimately headed, is that at some point along the line in this series, in this season rather, the Germans are going to suffer for turning their back on the CIA. Because, you know, they've set that up. Set that up with, you know, we're slagging off the new Germans, which is, I mean, that is actually, a real, if you like, a real social cultural phenomenon that people do talk about quite a lot is, you know, metrosexual Germany. And it is, frankly, as someone who kind of grew up with the very stereotypical version of Germans that we get in this country, in the UK, it is something odd to see. Obviously, my, you know, brain tells me, come on, be realistic. It's not like Germans were ever really that much like that anyway. I can only assume some point along the line, Berlin is going to come under either the threat of or victim to a massive jihadi terror attack, and it's going to be, oh, well, you could have stopped this if you hadn't withdrawn from our bilateral spying arrangement. Because, think about it. This is how all of the Snowden thing, this is part of the fallout of it, is this notion of, yeah, but if you want to be safe, if you want us to spy on terrorists, then you have to accept us spying on everything. And that's just the end of it. And most people seem to have just sort of rolled over and accepted that. They seem to have said, oh, well, now we know that everyone's being spied on whenever they use a computer or a phone or anything. But, since they, you know, they brought up the terrorists again, I guess it's all okay. And so that's how this, like you say, this is how the dynamic it seems to be from this first episode. Like you say, we are guessing somewhat that this is where they're headed with it. It seems that this is how they're playing it out. That it's like, okay, they've turned around and said no. And Saul takes that to mean, okay, that means we've got to take another approach towards dealing with jihadis in Europe. And so now we've got this completely deniable agent who is just working out of names and photographs he gets from a safe deposit box, running around Berlin, killing whoever he's told to kill.
Yeah. It's like, he doesn't even question it.
No.
Creepy line. The picture and a name in the box, that's all I need. And of course he pulls out this picture and it's some woman, you know, a young woman in a hijab.
And he's just been told, oh, she's a recruiter of suicide bombers or whatever. All right, well, she's dead then. Yeah, it's kind of like either you can do the neurotic, paranoid surveillance, or we can just go full-blown psycho on you. Mm. It's like those are the two options you're presented with by this show, which I guess is sort of the way the CIA sees it. It's either either we live with them spying on us, or we live with them screwing around, killing anyone they want.
Mm.
Yeah,
definitely an ominous sort of approach. And that was another one of these, like, Jesus, like, what happened to you, Saul? The humanity has been stripped out of him and Quinn, which is interesting because they are the sort of, I guess, the closest to the actual CIA in the show. If we're sort of thinking about, you know, who of these among these characters is supposed to be our sort of, you know, CIA composite. You know, they're the closest. Mm. They're actually working directly for the agency. And I think obviously this season it's about Carrie and how Carrie is really, you know, she represents the good of the CIA because she, you know, she doesn't want to work with this journalist in confirming that these are documents because it's going to hurt people. But she's also, you know, I don't want to be involved with the agency anymore. I just want to, you know, live with Franny, Brody's love child, and this other guy that works for During as well as his lawyer, I believe. And she wants to live this sort of, you know, idyllic life. But at the same time, she's very aware that, oh, there's bad, horrible things going on out there. Whereas Saul is just basically like, kill, kill, kill. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, and Quinn is just, I mean, I don't even know what he's into, this dark, dark place yet again. So very kind of ominous.
The whole episode really was very gloomy and very, you know, yeah. Lots of shadows, lots of dim lighting. The whole thing, it was like, it is setting it up to be a very grim season, I think, is the upshot of this.
Yeah. And maybe, now we can kind of start, you know, sort of talking about maybe our general predictions for, you know, where we think this is going. Because I have a feeling that this season is going to be much more a sort of, a back to basics kind of like, this is the reality of the situation. It's a pretty horrible existence. You know, the last season sort of seemed, which I wonder if we're ever, are we ever going to go back there? You know, any of the stuff that happened in Pakistan or whatever, but or the CIA agent in the Revolutionary Guard from the third season. I guess we forgot all about him as well. But
Javadi, yeah.
And interesting. I've totally forgot they mentioned Abu Nazir in this episode.
Of course,
the one Hezbollah commander in all of Berlin worked for Abu Nazir, and Carrie, you know, killed his son in a drone strike or something. So, you know, of course.
Well, it's a small world,
right? Yeah. where do we see this going? Because I feel like this is going to be the kind of season where it's like, you know, this is what it's all about. You know, it's this, it, like you were sort of saying, it either get used to no privacy and complete spying on everything you do, or get used to us blowing up buildings and, you know, letting jihadis, swarm into Europe and, you know, implement Sharia law. And I don't know if we haven't quite had a season where it was that sort of, you know, pick a side right here. You know, you're either with us or you're against us. You know, the first couple, you know, the seasons with Brody were very much about this sort of, I don't know, love triangle and sort of, you know, setting up Carrie as a character. The season previous to this one was very much about, I mean, basically predicting everything that's going on in Afghanistan right now. But so, Tom, what's your kind of take on what we're seeing in this season and what we might be expecting?
Well, like you say, it's very different to what we've seen in previous seasons. I was thinking, even just in the most simple cinematic terms, it's set in Europe.
Yeah.
Homeland has never been set in Europe before. The first three seasons are basically all set in America, apart from Brody's adventure in Caracas that we will not mention it. Because it's the worst storyline that's ever been in this show. Season 4, all basically set in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and a bit in the States, I guess. But this season, they've decided clearly to go for Europe. So I'm guessing that they're aiming more at the European audience a bit with this season. This whole thing about the CIA with this bilateral spying arrangement with Germany, whereby they're doing the BND spying for them. Like you say, that's the sort of thing that we've seen plenty of storylines, newspaper stories describing that in terms of the NSA, but we've not seen that much, if at all, really, with the CIA before. And also, this notion that the CIA are running around Western Europe, blowing things up and assassinating people. Mm. That's pretty explicit, really.
Mm.
That's something, again, that they've taken, I think, another little notch up as to quite what they're telling us, you know, the truth, in fact, that they're telling us about what the CIA are really up to. Because each season by season, we've seen a little bit more of that, a little bit more of, you know, the dark side, the true horrible dark underbelly of CIA black operations. And so I guess with this season, they're just going to push that bit by bit a little further. I would also, just to come back to this Syria thing, this is something. In the last season, we were sat there the whole season thinking, are they going to bring up ISIS at any time?
Yeah, yeah.
And then right at the end, they send Quinn off to Syria. And we're like, oh, right, so that's the little Syria reference for this season. And they briefly mentioned the beheading video and Jim Foley.
Yes, very odd.
But on the whole, that wasn't part of the storyline. In this season, it's front and center. You have that big meeting in the basement at Langley where you've got the guys from the Pentagon and presumably the National Security Council and whoever the hell else those other people are supposed to be. And Quinn sat there talking about how terrible ISIS is and how they're going to take over the whole of the Middle East and just kill everybody. We had them referred to as ISIS, as ISIL, as the Islamic State. Made sure they got all of those names
the
in there.
The artist formerly known as ISIL.
But you know what I mean? Compared to last season where they never mentioned them, this season it's like, this is what it's about. We're making sure we're mentioning every name that you've heard them by so you know who we're talking about here.
Mentioning Assad, they don't mention foreign leaders, like, by name.
No, not usually.
They never, I mean, even in the whole Iran storyline with Brody, I mean, they never said Khomeini, I don't think.
No. Or Ahmadinejad, or... Yeah.
Yeah, so there, that was another thing. But anyway, go ahead, Tom.
Well, and again, you're right to pick up on that detail, though, because once more, this is ever more set in the real world. They've fast-forwarded from where they were at the end of Season 4, which was basically set before the Syrian thing really got going. Now they've fast-forwarded 2.5 years, and we are basically where we are now, with Quinn sat there saying, well, we were going after Assad, but now apparently we're going after ISIS. Frankly, we don't seem to really have a strategy in Syria other than be in Syria. And he's not wrong. And, and then afterwards, Saul even says to Dara Dahl, he says, well, it's, you know, does people the good, some good to hear the truth every now and again.
Mm.
And he's talking in terms of the storyline, right? That the other people in that room didn't want to hear that stuff, but Quinn told them anyway. But thinking, you know, a little bit more laterally, he's talking about us, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about us, the watching audience, that we're sat there thinking, well, we don't really think there is a strategy in Syria, or if there is one, it's not really clear what it is and where it's going. It was, you know, get rid of Assad, and then it was, well, now we've got to create an Islamic State to try and get rid of Assad, and now it's, oh, well, that's going apeshit, so we're supposed to be bombing the Islamic State, but are we really trying to, or are we just letting the thing grow and encouraging it to grow and hoping the whole thing just turns into another mess? Because even sat from where we're sat, knowing a decent amount about this kind of stuff, it's not that clear what the strategy is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that whole sequence with Quinn is spot on. I mean, there is no strategy.
Like I say, other than just getting involved in Syria.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We're not walking away from it. That's the strategy that we're doing.
No, totally. And again, you know, even in mentioning Syria, I mean, they don't mention the fact that, you know, there's this Russian air base or naval base. Very odd. Again, Tom and I, we were talking about how every other show, CIA-sponsored TV show or something, is all about Russia.
Has been for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can't escape it. So it's very interesting that this, that Homeland seems very much about the sort of Islamic terrorism. and, you know, devoid of Russia. Although, who knows, with this whole spying, hacking thing, I mean, that's already a different angle for Homeland, you know?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me to see them pick up on the Russian thing somehow more in this season at all. Because it does seem that they've, just like we said with the last season, they've done something a bit different with it. They've picked up a few new topics that we weren't expecting necessarily. Same with this season. It looks like it's heading in, you know, they're just broadening the scope of the show just a little bit.
Right.
Just to, I don't know, partly to keep it fresh, I guess. But also, interestingly, in those articles that I sent you, because, you know, we've done this, we did this when we did our previous two review shows on Homeland. We had a look around and saw, are there any articles about, you know, the CIA consultants and whatnot working on the show? And before the previous two seasons, we managed to find some. But this one, there really hasn't been very much. It seems like, if anything, the CIA have perhaps distanced themselves, or at least tried to publicly distance themselves from their involvement in this show. Because we had that thing back in March, maybe, was it? That you sent me, where the CIA had tweeted out something about, you know, women in the CIA not being very happy with Homeland. And it was an article by Maureen Dowd, this curious journalist, we'll say at least, at the New York Times. And she'd been invited by the CIA to interview a bunch of female, you know, CIA officers about what they thought of their portrayal via Carrie in Homeland. And they all said, oh, well, she's just a slut and I'm not really like that. That was pretty much the upshot of this article. And that struck us at the time. It's like, is this the CIA just taking a little step back, or at least trying to appear to take a little step back from this? And then when we were looking for these other articles or anything else we could come up with, we found that Alex Gantzer, the producer, the series producer, the main, or at least one of the main producers, had attended some sort of panel in Washington, D.C., with government types there, and they'd suggested Syria as an interesting place to send the agents, or at least to be part of the storyline for the next season. And that article on, it was on Deadline.com, and it said that he visits this panel every year, that the producers and writers of Homeland visit this panel every year to sort of, you know, take the political temperature, as they put it. In other words, get some ideas and get some people to say, we'd quite like it if you did this. Because that's, from everything we know, that's how these panels actually work. So it certainly seems they're still involved, the CIA, in this show. We have to assume that, but perhaps they're just trying to keep it a little bit quieter than they have for the last couple of years, because it has actually been, you know, at least somewhat reported on, and there's basically no mention of them for this season, but I'm pretty sure they must still be involved. Yeah?
Oh, I mean, there's no way that, you know, if they weren't, I mean, why are they doing Snowden if they're not involved? Clearly, you know, someone within the CIA wants to make sure that the Snowden story sticks to a particular narrative. You know, therefore, let's put it in the show. And I was just sort of thinking just about that. I mean, the Otto Dering is Pierre Omidyar, some idiot billionaire who, throws his money. Yeah, let's do good here. And yeah, we'll journalism. And yeah, we'll go after the CIA transit sites in Poland. And, you know, he is this Pierre Omidyar, you know, this sort of doofus rich guy.
I would guess so, yeah.
With just a ton of money to throw around. And, you know, so, and he's got Laura Poitras there. So, you know, he's the Omidyar character. But yeah, I think this sort of and this is something we've talked about previously, is that the sort of overt cooperation between the CIA and Hollywood and entertainment productions has sort of tapered off since Argo and Zero Dark Thirty.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's become a bit of a liability, the amount of, you know, work that they were doing with one another. And I think that's what we're seeing perhaps with Homeland, where they're not going to have a Homeland premiere at Langley ever again. You're not going to see these bizarre panels sponsored by Sheraton Hotels with cast members of Homeland and real CIA agents talking about, you know, agency work.
Promoting the show and promoting the agency and all of that.
And Sheraton Hotels. Yeah, you're not going to, they're not doing that anymore. But I think that in many ways, the plot lines that we're getting, at least in the, you know, this first episode and what we're sort of gathering from, you know, previews and things like that, this seems, I mean, all of these storylines are like almost sort of designed specifically for people in the know that understand what the CIA is getting up to. Like I said, I mean, this whole German CIA spying scandal, we know about it. I'm sure most of the listeners are aware of it. That's not something that the average person is going to necessarily be aware of.
Well, no, I mean, didn't we both read about it on, like, Intel News?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like yeah, that's the only site that's really covering it.
Yeah, yeah, that are for people like us, the sorts of people who would follow an intelligence news website because we're interested in what's going on in that world. Mm. But yeah, yeah, of course, the vast majority of people will have never even visited that site.
Yeah.
Let alone will know about this spying scandal. So you're right. Why is it that they're playing on stories that are on, like, the third or fourth tier of in terms of what public attention is actually addressed on? But there again, how many people actually know that the Haqqani network is now a rising power and seems to be, you know, at least
second
part
in command,
the power structure in the Taliban?
Yeah,
not very many. Yet the whole of the fourth season seemed to be about predicting that. So
yeah.
it is odd the extent to which, given that they've clearly, you know, there's so many details here that are clearly ripped from real life, unashamedly, and it seems relatively unabashed. They're clearly talking about the real world, but yet they're talking about, like you say, relatively low-level stuff, at least in terms of the public consciousness. Mm. So maybe it's also about not just the specific events themselves. I'm sure it is about that. And from their perspective, it's like, well, yeah, but if anyone stumbles across this story, we want them to have already seen the Homeland episode, so they're predisposed to think about the story that way. There's always that element to it. But there's also the element of, it's not necessarily about the individual events. It's about the portrayal of the world. It's about the portrayal of, you know, when we're not fighting ISIS, we're fighting hackers in Berlin, or diplomatic struggles with foreign governments who won't let us just do what we want, or, you know, just we've got all of that churning up in this one first episode that we've seen of this season. So, yeah, I think it might also just be about portraying a worldview rather than necessarily trying to promote specific perspectives of specific individual events. Although I think it is also about that to some extent. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess that's I would definitely echo that. I think that there are obviously the sort of Snowden hacking thing, the sort of, again, the ISIS, Syria, these sort of topics. But at the same time, I think this season is much more about solidifying the worldview of the CIA and how they want us to, you know, think of them in terms of geopolitics. And yeah, I mean, I think maybe we'll sort of wrap it up here because there's only one episode and there's not too much else to talk. You know, you don't want to waste everything on this first episode. The second episode does look jam packed. I don't know if you saw the preview, Tom, but.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, we get, you know, explosions and people, you know, pointing guns at one another and women getting held hostage by jihadis. So that'll be exciting. There's also a, you know, to sort of tease it out, there's a preview clip on the Showtime website where Carrie seems to meet up with one of her former colleagues in the CIA. And he says, well, isn't this all a Trojan horse? And she says, what do you mean? Well, isn't this some plot that you and Saul cooked up to get you inside the Foundation? Which is, again, one of those sort of revealing little things where it's like, yeah, like you really think that they don't have someone within the Otto Dering Foundation to at least give them information, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially if they're going after the CIA. So very interesting. I think this is going to be a really exciting season and it's really going to take this – each season generally seems to take it to another level, or that's been the – at least with the past season or so. So I think this is going to be on a new level. So I don't know, Tom, if you have any other quick thoughts, you know.
Well, just like you say, it's going to be a very, very interesting one because there's a lot of new material. There's a lot of new subjects that they haven't really touched on before. And just re-emphasize, the whole setting is different. And that's, I know that's kind of like a a relatively obvious thing, but it's the sort of thing that people often miss, is, you know, where is the show actually set, and therefore, who is it actually aimed at?
Mm.
And I can't help but think, particularly in light of things like you've got this new Gary Powers movie starring Tom Hanks coming out, a lot of which was actually filmed in Germany with Angela Merkel present at some of the filming. And this is a DOD-sponsored, assisted production as well, of course, and possibly CIA as well. So you got to wonder, in the background of this, is one element of this bringing the whole German culture industry into this milieu of CIA, DOD control over entertainment?
That's I hadn't even thought about that.
That's something we'll have to keep an eye on going through the rest of this season, as to just what else comes up on that kind of score, and just how much of this season is actually filmed in Germany, because so far, pretty much all of this first episode seems to have actually been filmed, you know, on set in Germany. So,
yeah.
the whole thing is headed in an interesting and somewhat different direction to what I was expecting, and certainly to what the show's done before. So, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about the rest of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know. I mean, yeah, it already sucks. We're going to have to wait a full week to you know, to figure out what happens next. But and I'll just leave the listeners with this just quick thought, is just to you know, take, when you're watching these episodes, really try and pick apart, you know, what are they, not only what do they want us to know, but what are they trying to tell us is going to happen? Because I have a feeling that there's going to be some, like you were saying before, Tom, that, you know, maybe there will be some sort of horrific attack in Germany. Wait and see. You know, you may be surprised that the last season almost, I mean, literally predicted what is going on in Afghanistan right now. And I have a feeling that this season is going to not only sort of tell us, okay, this is the official story of Snowden, let's say, but there's going to be something in this that will we might see on the horizon very soon. And I'll just say that this season was obviously filmed before this sort of refugee crisis. And I'm sure that, you know, but yet the whole first season is dealing with that in the background. They, you know, they, when they're talking about all the infiltrating, they know exactly who they're talking to. The kind of people that are obsessed with the idea that, oh, all these refugees are really jihadis. So very interesting, you know, and that's something we'll keep in mind. But again, thank you all for listening to this introductory episode. I think Tom and I will probably take turns switching off back and forth, but you can find every episode of this little mini series on both my website, which is PorkinsPolicyReview.com, and also on SpyCulture.com, which is Tom's website. So, Tom, thanks for joining me on my site today, and hopefully we'll switch off, and you'll be hosting the next episode.
Yeah, looking forward to it.